Good morning. It is Wednesday. We're already at the 7th of August, and Friday is a public holiday. So if you are wondering why we're not doing a show on Friday, it's because you're not going to be doing anything on Friday either. And that's all thanks to Women's Day.
Yes, sir.
I see that we may have a new mayor of Johannesburg.
Oh.
The Nyaupe mayor,
Kabelo
Gwamanda,
hey,
is about to see his ass, which... I mean, I can't believe it's taken this long.
I saw
his bus from the Al Jamaa party on the news the other night. I actually posted this somewhere. And the bus had the temerity to say to us, the leader of the Al Jamaa party, I don't know his name. You don't have to worry about it either. Five people in the whole of South Africa ever going to hold that office. But he said, it's very important that Mayor Gwamanda is allowed to continue his work. They're angling for him to be deputy mayor. Now, first of all, what the hell do we need a deputy mayor for?
That's a good question.
When the mayor's doing nothing. And second of all, what work does Gwamanda want to continue? He hasn't done any work. Half the reason they're replacing him, there are very few things that the ANC, Action SA, and the DA can agree on. But they all agree that this guy's cuck. So what work are they talking about in Al Jamaa when they say he's got to continue the important work that he was doing in office? Name a thing, anything, just the one thing. I'd love to know.
Collecting the paycheck.
Right. Apparently he had more bodyguards than any other mayor in the country. Why? Because so many people want to kill him? I wouldn't recognize Mayor Gwamanda if he walked past me in the shop today.
Yeah, true.
If I drove past him, the only reason I'd know it was him is because of the Blue Light Brigade.
Yep.
But if he drove past me without the Blue Light Brigade, I would be none the wiser.
Mm-mm. It's like they decided to send all the protection to the person that needed it the least.
Which is kind of an ongoing thing in this country. Anyway, the ANC confirmed that he was ready to resign, but that more time is needed to finalize agreements with some of the parties that they wanted to work with in the government of local unity. Gwamanda is expected to step down sometime this week after being in office since 2023. A special council to elect a successor is expected to take place next week. You know, when your record is that you've done nothing since 2023, we don't need to have meetings, councils, and elections.
I was just about to say that.
We should just throw you out onto the rubbish heap that you came from. We don't know who this guy was before. We won't know what he's like after, and history will barely mention his name.
At all. History won't mention his name at all. And I think that is why so many people dislike politics and everything that comes with it. It's like everyone knows the right answer, but we have to sit through a committee just to get to what we knew from the beginning. It's like, what the hell are we doing?
And by the way, I mean, Johannesburg is a really important place. You know, we've talked about Joburg a lot in this show in the last couple of weeks. We've interviewed people who've written books about it. We spoke just the other day to comedian Chris Forrest about how much he loves Joburg. You know what? This is a serious city that needs someone who actually can get shit done.
Yeah.
And I really think that we deserve better. Honestly, I think guys who are in charge of local politics need to understand that their primary responsibility is to the citizens of the city.
Yep.
We can't get billing right. We can't get water and electricity right. Eventually, people get to a point where they're like, well, why do we pay rates and taxes? What are we getting for it? Nothing. So why should we carry on paying for rates and taxes? Good point. We won't. And then once people have decided they're not paying, it's very hard to get them to come back.
Yeah. And it's that civil disobedience that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The mass civil disobedience that we need to bring up. As like, I mean, you know, E-Tolls was a great example.
MM says, don't be disparaging. He did single-handedly raise the value of Nyaupe.
Oh. Oi.
Oh, my God. Conga Chris says, I saw last night in the news that Joburg is 211 billion rand in the hole.
Oh. But that guy is doing great work, right? Al Jamaa. He needs to keep at it.
He needs to keep doing his work.
Yeah.
What, wasting money.
While this shit is still going on. Well done.
All right. So let's turn our attention to some other things. apparently the National Assembly is still sitting with several unfilled vacancies by the MK party and the ANC. Surprise, surprise. Just want to congratulate all those people who voted for MK, because they don't care that you voted for them. They just wanted the seats, and turns out they don't even want them that badly. Mm-hmm. There are a number of vacancies that have not been filled by the MK party and the National and the African National Congress. ANC is still to fill the vacancy left by the resignation of accused Zizi Kodwa. You know, he's accused of corruption.
Yeah.
But that's only one. So let's not lump the ANC in with MK on this one, because there's a bit of a difference. Okay, so Zizi Kodwa was there. Now he's accused of corruption, so he has to vacate his seat. But MK has got 5 seats open.
Sure.
After the parliament decided that the party's lists of members submitted were not compliant with the law. Some of the MK members that are still to be sworn in include the former Eskom CEO, Brian Molefe.
Oh, my goodness.
Ay, ay, ay. Also, Gazani Penny Kobane. Party chief whip Sihle Ngubane, rather, early indicated that members of parliament who are still to be sworn in include Transnet CEO Siyabonga Gama and the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa's chief Lucky Montana. So basically, a group of people who have done nothing but rip us off and steal from us as a country.
Yeah.
These are the 5 members that the MK party wants to put in parliament, along with, of course, disgraced judge John Hlophe. Yeah. And I mean, the fact that these people are allowed to resume seats in parliament, or even think that they're allowed to resume seats in parliament, is precisely why we have to talk about leadership in the next 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And we will. But I mean, Lucky Montana, Siyabonga Gama,
Brian Molefe.
When we talk about state capture and we talk about the guptification of our government, these guys were like front and center in all of it.
Yeah.
If I were them, I'd be so ashamed of myself that I wouldn't show my face, let alone try to take a seat in parliament.
Do you know what it is, Gareth? Like,
it's like they have the hide of a rhino.
If you are, let's just say you and I and James and Flex decided to rob a bank.
Yeah.
Ne?
Yeah.
And
don't give me ideas, but yeah.
Yeah. We robbed the first one successfully and we've got our loot and we go our separate ways, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, all of us are realizing that our money bags are dropping a little bit too quickly.
So they've spent some of the ill-gotten gains.
There you go.
So you think
so
they see
we
a
need
way
to prepare for the next one.
Okay, all right. You've explained it.
We're switching things up. Maybe we robbed a bank in Joburg. Now we'll go to Mpumalanga. Then from Mpumalanga, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's what it is. And ultimately, what it becomes is, you fucked up somewhere, you cover that fuck up with another fuck up and find another fuck up to put it. You get what I mean?
Sure.
You just pile them up.
How disgusting.
Yep.
This is what we're dealing with. All right, let's talk about the hypocrisy budget. This is something we've brought up before, right? It's like you're allowed to, you have a budget for making mistakes and for saying stupid things.
Yeah.
You should have. Everybody should have. So in other words, you will be forgiven maybe 2, perhaps if we're generous, 3 times for being totally outrageous online or for saying something that is morally very questionable. But everybody should be given a chance, especially if you're young.
Mm.
Like if you're in your teens or in your 20s and you maybe say something really off color, a little bit dangerous, a bit provocative online, we should give you a little budget to be able to reconfigure things as you go.
You know,
now, what is a hypocrisy budget?
I love the fact that you brought this subject up the way that you did, because you are the center of the subject, actually.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm a hypocrite.
No. Look, we all have, you know, tiny moments where
sure.
These things happen. And I don't think we should rake one another over the coals for it. But
you're going to. So go.
No. I'm going to be kind this morning. I'm going to be kind. So I firstly want to bring up where I heard this idea to start with. So I was very fortunate to sit in your interview with Eric Weinstein.
Yeah, right.
And he brought this up. James, do we have that clip? Okay. You'll let me know once it's ready. But anyway, he presents what you just said. The idea that, look, as human beings, we need to be afforded a little bit of grace. But at the end of the sentence, there's something that he says, that you should not go below your budget. You must stay within the budget. And I think you did a perfect job of doing just that. So you were a bit of a hypocrite, a little bit.
On any particular subject?
So you were talking about, you remember that show we did a few weeks ago when you listed the 10 ways people should unfriend you on Facebook?
Yes.
One of those rules was if you use your wedding picture 6 months after your wedding as your profile picture. Yeah. And I thought to myself, where have I seen someone using a picture they took years ago for something recent? And I saw the thumbnail for the show.
Oh, yeah, but that, we haven't done a photo shoot in ages. And
so I thought it was really interesting you were the person to point that out.
You're not the only one, and Ben has brought this up before.
Yes.
So let me just deal with this right now. We have to do a new bunch of photos for the show. We're using very old pictures. I agree. It looks ridiculous. But this is live right now. So you see what I look like, right? I'm not misrepresenting myself here.
But I kid you not, if they were to
put up... But you're right. You're right.
If James were to put up the thumbnail that we usually go with for the show... Put it up on the screen, James.
It's a shoot we did 11 years ago.
Sure.
Right? I just couldn't
look
be bothered.
At that.
Yeah, but okay. So I could not be bothered. At least your picture's quite cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't too long ago.
You look like a Squatan.
Yes, sir. All I'm missing is the ultra male. You know what I mean?
All right. But we did that shoot 11 years ago. I couldn't be bothered to go and sit in a studio and have them take pictures. You have to have your hair and makeup and outfit and all that shit done. I could care less. We do a show every day. If you don't know what I look like, you're not watching the show. Too bad. Then use your imagination.
James, do you hear him flipping the script
on us? I come from radio. I don't give a shit what you think of the way I look. I'm not particularly thrilled about the way I look. I could be better. But I'm not going to go and do a whole bunch of photos. We'll do them in this studio one day when I've got an extra 5 minutes, and they'll look okay. That's the best I can promise you. So yes, hypocrite, I'll own it.
Yeah. And you came in just under budget.
But bear in mind, I don't make the choices about what pictures we use. I don't have any... James, do I have anything to do with that? Have I ever said, use this picture of me? No.
No.
In fact, I'm so used to people using the very worst pictures they can find of me every time a story about me comes up online or in the newspaper.
Yeah.
So I've stopped caring.
Mm.
Therefore, I don't know that this is a massive impingement on my budget.
I don't think so. That's why I said you came in just. You know what I mean? I love Congo Chris's comment. He says, Gareth's hair hasn't changed in 30 years. There's no point in taking a
Thank
new
you.
One of
exactly.
it.
Exactly. What's the point, right? What are those phallic things behind you, Gareth Grant? What are the phallic things behind?
Oh, right.
They're meant
there,
to be like
to
a. It looks like a salt and pepper shaker to me, but if you want them to be phallic, then that's you. Wayne says, Gareth's catfishing us all. That Don Kitty says, I'm 4 years married. I still have my wedding picture as my Facebook profile pic. Listen, you know, sometimes you just don't think to update it. Honestly, I have to. And when I do, then I go, oh, well, I better update all of them. But I haven't done that for a while either. I think my Twitter picture is the same one it's been for a very long time.
A couple of months ago.
Oh, that's just old.
Simpiwa was telling you to change your LinkedIn profile picture too.
Which is also very old.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. You know what we'll do? Today, I'll do an update of all of them. But I'm not doing a whole photo shoot. I'm just going to find some picture from yesterday.
Yeah.
Or I'll take one with my phone.
There you go. There you go.
Okay.
Because a couple of people brought it to my attention. They were like, but hey, man.
But he's full of shit.
How is this Gareth person telling us which pictures to use? Meanwhile, he's using... And I actually didn't realize that you took that picture years ago.
Yeah, 11 years.
Jeez. More than a decade ago.
All right. I get the point.
But your hypocrisy budget is still together. You're still good. Still good.
The hypocrisy budget, according to Congo Chris, should be directly correlated to your hypocrisy tolerance. I try not to be hypocritical because I find hypocrisy abhorrent. Mm. Yeah, okay, good. I'm for the gents, let's not fool ourselves here. There's a mental case at play with the majority of people in government, says Dumisani. Yo, are we going back to the story about Gwamanda?
Yeah, it sounds
okay.
Like it.
I thought so, he was maybe talking about pictures and Parliament's webpage. Okay, yeah, Dumisani, I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah.
Raven says, dear God, don't let James decide that the pictures that you'll use on the real network. Oh, yeah, very bad idea. Jody says, Gareth looks the same. The cheeks have filled out in a bit, but that's as far as the change goes. Hey, it had to happen at some point.
It had to.
You're the youngest you'll ever be. Now, there's a terrible thing to remember from Percy in the comment sections.
You're just deciding to be a prophet of doom. Like, just, you
spot
know.
On.
Hey?
Yeah. We should allocate everyone a yearly or two-yearly budget for being wrong. Not a lifetime one, says Mapelo, because we keep growing as people. Yeah, and you know what the other thing is? Like, you should be allowed to change your mind. In fact, it would be a very good thing if we remembered that people are allowed to change their mind. That's why I hate it when someone is running for office and they dig up a clip from like 10 years ago.
Right.
I go, but that's not, you're not the same person you were 10 years ago. I'm not even the same person I was 2 weeks ago.
That's the
don't
thing.
Don't you think?
If you are going to think the exact same way. In fact, Muhammad Ali said it best. If you view the world at 20 the same way you view the world at 50, you've wasted 30 years.
Sure.
I think that's the perfect way to put it. Because if you are not learning anything, if you're not growing, if you're not evolving, what is the point of you? Like, genuinely, I ask that in a very serious way. Like, what is the point of you? Because if you are not trying to elevate your understanding of not just yourself, but the world around you, what are you busy with?
Couldn't agree more. I think that's right. We change by the second. So, yep. Okay. So everybody, this is a little reminder to all of us then to go and change our profile pictures.
That's
otherwise, you're guilty of misrepresenting yourself, you know?
Yep.
I think that there are lots of people who still don't have an actual picture of themselves. That's a whole lot worse if you ask me.
Yeah.
People either pretending to be someone else or people who are using a picture from so long ago that they don't even look like that anymore.
I've heard some horror stories from these dating sites of the people that are on Tinder and all of that stuff.
Yes. Ooh.
Yeah. It's like, my guy, couldn't you just tell me that you great, like you gained 15 kilograms? Like, you couldn't just tell me? Like, what's going on?
Percy says, the smartest man I know is my tailor. He takes new measurements each time he sees me. That's from George Bernard Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good.
Very good.
People are not the same person as they were 10 years ago, except serial killers, says Wayne. Well, that's an interesting point, right? I mean, we were talking about the retribution and the ability for people to renew themselves, to come up with a new way of looking at things. I think there's certain things that society takes a long time to get over. You know, a profile pic is one thing, but if you're actually a murderer, that's kind of a level up.
Yeah. And it's appropriate that we don't just forgive you.
No, I think that there needs to be a little bit of accountability there. Lucky says, I just realized I've been using the same picture for YouTube and everything else, and I haven't had dreadlocks in 4 years.
Lucky. Lucky.
It's okay. We just won't recognize you when we bump into you on the street. Like, we wouldn't recognize Mayor Gwamanda if we ever bumped into him again.
Yeah, it's just with Guams, you need to be...
Guams.
Yeah.
We're not calling him Guams.
You need to be in the right corners. You know what I mean? No mayini, baba. No mayini. Now Guams. Get the grams, baba.
Oh, man. I see lots of stuff going on here on X this morning from people who have lots to say about the VP pick that Kamala Harris has chosen for the Democrats going into the election. Only a couple of months away, hey?
Yeah.
And I see that there's a lot of controversy that's brewing around X and Linda Yaccarino, who is I think she's the new CEO of X, who was appointed by Elon Musk. She's basically going after two bodies that were established supposedly to regulate advertising, but actually to do a soft or a hard boycott on many platforms because they just were considered politically inconvenient or not necessarily aligned to the political misgivings of the powers that be, the people who want to control the narrative. And she's going after them. And there's just this huge outpouring of like, no, you can't do this. Because, of course, X has been bought by an individual and is now a platform which he is intent on opening up rather than closing down.
Mm.
And the best thing is, to prove that actually Elon Musk is the best thing that happened to X, is that all these people who don't like him are allowed to comment on X about him.
Exactly.
He's not shutting anyone down.
Mm-hmm.
He's not blocking you. He's not cutting you out. He's not being petty like I would. If I owned X, I'd be like, no, I don't like you. You're out.
Yeah.
But he's doing everything that people say he wouldn't do and none of the things that he said he would, that they said he would.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why so many people are so angry about Elon Musk when he's allowing them to be angry on the platform that he owns. That's really nice of him. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Like, you know, I used to think people had a serious grip on the obvious. But they really don't. Like, it's. Can you imagine starting a business and letting people come into your business to tell you shit?
Yeah,
I don't think there's not too many people who would be willing to do that. And
yeah.
Elon Musk pointing out the fact that free speech is something that the world needs and does not censor it at all. It just goes to show that he is who he says he is.
Well, in contrast to him, British police are arresting people for saying kind of reasonable things online. So I don't know who's right and wrong here yet, but I do think that the UK is going through a massive series of complete... I mean, what's really going on there is that this is the UK coming to terms with a policy of open borders over the last 20 to 30 years, which has clearly resulted in something which the multiculturalists were not prepared for. And it's going to have to play itself out. I don't know the answers, but we're going to be watching it closely.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for.
All right, Jack. Thank you very much for being with me on the show this morning.
It's been good, man, as usual.
Don't miss Jack McClanty's own show. He'll post that in the comments below. And we've got a little conversation about conscious leadership, which I've been looking to have for a long time. And we've got to have Pepe Marais back on here because I haven't spoken to him in ages. And he has he's been doing a lot of work in this field. In fact, the last time I think we had you on, Pepe, was probably about 2 years ago, sadly. But he's back and he's been empowering business leaders and teams to find their purpose through conscious leadership. He's, of course, the co-founder and group chief executive officer at Joe Public, the ad agency. They've done amazing stuff over the years. And with him, we've got Gareth Van Fieren, who's the founder of Wrapped Creative. Both of them have very strong opinions about conscious leadership. What is leadership? What are we going to do to make it better? And I think it's really great to have the two of you here. So first of all, nice to see you, Pepe. Nice to see you, Gareth. Awesome. Yeah. Look, you even wore the same colors. What happened? Your mic went flaccid there, G.
There you go.
Just tighten it up on the side. There's a little, so nice to see you.
Excellent to see you, Gareth.
You're looking very distinguished these days with the silver hair.
I just shaved my little gray beard to look a bit younger because I knew I was seeing you and you're not aging. So,
well, listen,
what's going on?
They just gave me 20 minutes of shit about not updating my pictures because I'm looking much older than I am in the pictures.
They were done when you were about 21, though.
Yeah, it was 11 years ago we did that photo shoot, so we've got to do a new one. So, guys, there's a lot of talk about leadership. I think we must just start off by drawing a distinction between leaders and people who occupy offices, because both of you have started up businesses that really are about people. And if you're not a real leader, there's no way that you get to do that. What do you think the difference is between leadership and being in a job or having an office or having a title? And where can we draw the distinctions immediately before we get into conscious leadership, which is a whole level above that? You want to go first, Pepe?
Gareth, I said it early on to you, before I speak to leadership, because your show is going to be viewed and people that I lead will see it.
Right.
I have to acknowledge I'm a long way from the leader I used to be. I mean, speaking about shouting back in the day, you know, old school. But I'm still a long way from where I want to be. So there'll be two camps of people who have worked with me, people who find me incredibly inspiring and people who find me a little bit quite hard to manage with.
Okay. You know, so but then we were talking just earlier about how people are changing all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm and changing, so is leadership.
100%. Yeah. So I'm in flux. If you ask me, geez, what is a leader? I'm instantly going to go to my experience of current leadership, because it is more about being aware of your actions and your impact on other human beings. That already goes into the space of a more conscious leader. Before this concept, there was also the servant leader, which is a leader that's there to really serve the output or the result or the growth of other people. Mm-hmm. And more interested in serving people than just serving themselves. That's already like a step further. And if you go back before that, what were leaders? They were the people that founded businesses, and by their sort of birthright were the person that made all the decisions and spoke the most in rooms and had the loudest voice, and everyone had to listen. So it's constantly shifting, but it's shifting around this concept of awareness. So yeah, in essence, to me, leader is someone who sets the right level of example that serves the world the best in this moment.
You agree with that definition?
Yeah, I think Pip is further down the line than I am in terms of that discovery. but yeah, I think, you know, for me, leadership is the difference between a manager and a leader. You know, I think start there is manager somebody who sits there and makes sure the work gets done. And I think a leader is somebody there that empowers the work to be done when they're not around. So that's a big part of leadership for me. And speaking of the servant leadership style, I think that's where I find myself. When I'm focusing more on serving others and creating a business that will last, you know, longer than me, then your whole outlook changes. When you're not the one looking for the recognition and giving it to your team or giving them the tools and the opportunities, I think that's more what leadership is. You know,
well, I mean, it's interesting that you say that, because I had to persuade you to come on here. You don't really need to and want to talk about these things. And the first time I spoke to you, you were like, I'm not so sure, you know, I've got things to do, I've got clients to meet, I've got staff to deal with. I don't want to be talking about this on the show, but look at the two of you now talking about this. And I think there's so many people in business, in politics, in society, in families who are starting to realize like that the leadership has to start somewhere, and you got to stand up and be prepared to take some flack and take some risks. And it's always been the case that people can see leadership when the general is actually in the front of the army with his troops. That's when you see it straight away and it's obvious to you. All these other kinds of leadership that you spoke about are much more intuitive and perhaps not as direct and not as obvious. But a lot of those things are the ways that people are running big companies, countries, making important decisions about the way that civilization moves. So where do you think this idea of conscious leadership, as opposed to just kind of people who stumble upon it. What did Churchill say? Some people are born great, some people learn to be great, and some people have greatness thrust upon them. So do you think conscious leadership is some new evolution of that idea?
So I would stick to my belief that people grow great rather than are born great.
Okay.
Because I think we're constantly evolving if we open to it.
Okay.
I was saying to Gareth just before we came on now, there's this beautiful model about human evolution that starts with being unconscious of our level of incompetence. So now when I'm unconscious of my level of incompetence, I actually think I'm very competent, but I don't realize against my real potential, I'm nowhere. And only when you shift into a space of becoming aware of your incompetence. So I could be dealing with people and using force and my view, and I'm always right, and I'm the boss. And I might think that's absolutely acceptable and right because I'm unconscious that that's an incompetent way.
We all know people like that, right?
Well, I used to be like that. So, yeah. So that's a beautiful way of showing how we evolve. So we are constantly evolving. The world is evolving. I mean,
do you look back on the old Pepe and think, ugh, or do you go, you just accept that that's a part of who's informed the version we see in front of us now, and that this version will lead to an even better version along the way? You're always seeing constant improvement.
I'm absolutely will never look back on my life and go, ugh, because I know that good comes out of bad. I mean, that's nature, you know, like growth comes out of fire. That's just the way it works. So I would never criticize myself for my ill behavior or my so-called wrong behavior, because every time I've learned and grown out of it, that's life. But I am more aware now of what affects people in a negative way, and I'm working on that.
And that awareness is the consciousness.
That's the consciousness.
That's the base, right? It's awareness, self-awareness. Yeah. Knowing your blind spots, I think, has been a big one for me as well. So being able to admit it, being able to not want to be the smartest person in the room. Yeah. And I think once you start at that sort of base level and being conscious of those micro moments, you know, in your day, it starts to open up the floor for other people to communicate with you more. And that's obviously where I started realizing that the more aware I am, the more safe the environment becomes for the people around you to express themselves.
Well, one of the reasons I also thought it'd be a good idea to have you both on the show is because you've been having these conversations online anyway. The two of you have been talking in like direct messages.
It's going down in the DMs.
Yeah, about this stuff. And I sometimes think that those of us who are not, there are loads of people who just accepted the fact that they may be followers rather than leaders. And that's not always a bad thing. We need people who are able to keep society going. And sometimes they're the real heroes. You know, the leaders will get the credits a lot of the time, and they'll also get the blame a lot of the time. But many people in society are quite happy to be followers. The difference is, I think, maybe around what you just said now, is that often the people who see themselves as followers imagine that the leaders don't make mistakes, that they don't have vulnerabilities, that they don't actually have moments of self-doubt. And I'm sure both of you had those along the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anybody thinks that a leader or an entrepreneur doesn't have fear, it's wrong. I think we just pile through it a little bit more. You know, we've got this maybe it's stupidity or a little bit of grit, but there is fear. I think fear of failure, fear of failing the people around you, the families that you have to feed. But we're all human, I think, at the end of the day. And I think it then grows through to this larger purpose behind it as to why. And I think when your why becomes bigger than money bigger than the financial output, you know, then your why becomes a lot more, or your purpose becomes a lot stronger, and your drive becomes a lot stronger. You know, so if you now stop looking at money and you start looking at, well, how do we feed 100 families? Those 100 families are actually 200 people or 300 people. Then it becomes a lot easier day to day to go and face those fears and stare them in the eyes, because I don't know for you, but it still happens daily. You know, every day is a school day.
Talk about purpose for me for a second, because there's a big part of, and we'll talk about this bespoke conscious leadership journey that you've created and the people you've created it with. But just tell me about purpose, because that's such an important thing, and it's become very fashionable to talk about purpose now. I don't think that it's twee. I don't think it's a nonsense thing. I think it's really important. It's probably at the heart of everything. And the happiest people I've ever encountered, if happiness is a measure that you want to measure your life by, I think it should be, are people who really have found a purpose. And that purpose could be creating something, inventing something, improving other people's lives, writing a song. It could be just about anything. But if you really know what your purpose is, everything else kind of falls into line. Do you agree, Pepe?
Yeah. So how long have we got?
You've got time. Go ahead.
So I quickly want to acknowledge the fact that, just in terms of our timelines, I've got about 23 years on Gareth, you know. So and want to acknowledge where he's at in his journey, which is amazing to find someone at 33, exploring the things that he's exploring about his inner self.
Scary.
I'm like, what? I wish I was there at 33 because I only started this journey at 38. As a kid. clearly. It's. I wish one can change the word purpose. It was introduced to our consciousness back in 2010 by Simon Sinek in the business world, you know. Right. And
along with that why stuff that Gareth just brought up.
Huge. Well, that's the main big talking point. It was embraced by Larry Finch from BlackRock in 2018 when he sent an email to all his stakeholders. You all got to be more purposeful in business. You can't just be in it for money. I mean, it's such a complex concept. I don't think anyone really understand it to the level that it should be understood. I'm quite clear that my experience with it was super deep. It came through a breakdown, which unfortunately, the concept of understanding your purpose, and I'll get to exactly what I believe it is, usually come through a breakdown. I mean, Carl Jung supported that as a thought. Spiritual enlightenment comes through breaking down. So you have to have a breakdown before you have a breakthrough. And those breakdowns often have to be severe, either through a near death of someone or a...
So what happened to you with that breakdown?
Bankruptcy.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Bankruptcy, very, very important relationship with my wife starting to fall apart. Health. It's like a culmination of a lot of stuff.
Jeez.
But the trigger was losing half the business overnight. The idea of purpose to me, and Gareth just said it, but we only human. No, we're not. We are human beings. So there's two sides to all of us. There's a human side, the vessel, and the brain, the cognitive thinking. And then there's the spiritual side to all of us, which is called the being. It's mm-hmm. the human being. Mm-hmm. Whoever called us that, they were aware that there's these two sides. One resides here, and it's almost just as an illustration, it's probably everything's everywhere.
Sure.
The other one resides down here. So the human is given a name, Gareth, Pepe, mm-hmm. birth name mostly by our parents, which hasn't got much meaning. Vernacular names have got very beautiful meanings.
Right.
But I've even found that that's not always exactly the name, it's your spiritual name. So every single person are born with a spiritual name, a mm-hmm. being name. We're just not aware of it.
And who gives that to you? Where does it come from?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. And if once I die eventually, I hope it's a long time from today, I hope there's some sort of a body that interviews us as we come in wherever we're going that kind of explains what the hell's going on because we don't know.
Welcome, Bobby Le.
So, you were quite close in that interview with Gareth that this is how it works. But
okay, yeah.
So where does that come from? Well, I always have these conversations outside of any religion. But it comes from something greater than. Because if you look back on your timeline, there's some synchronicity that happens at certain moments in time that you cannot explain after the fact when you look back. Steve Jobs always said, look back at the dots and you start seeing magic. So, but it comes from somewhere. It comes from whether it's oneness, whether it's the greatest spiritual beingness of the planet. But in my experience, you are born into this world with that being name, which you'd never, we die without finding out what it is.
That's frustrating.
So, but you can do the work. He's definitely doing the work. He's doing different processes to start interrogating his deeper inner self, but that inner self has a name. And I found in businesses are usually given human names, Nedbank, South African Breweries, Joe Public, Wrapped. But we don't do enough work to find out what is the being name of that business. It's reason for being, beyond money and profit.
Does that name, do you think, relate maybe to our purpose?
That name is the purpose.
Right.
Oh, are you saying in business?
Yeah, your spiritual name, in business and personally.
So the two are different.
Okay.
So you will, because your business, you're a founder of a business, you're a founder of a business, I'm a co-founder. So they're like our children.
Yeah.
Your child won't have the same purpose as you.
No.
Because then you're enslaving that child with your view.
Right.
But there will be synergy. So my personal purpose is 100% aligned to Joe Public's purpose. It's a fascinating insight because when you interrogate it in business and you go and find what is that one word that being name of your business, it often has nothing to do
I mean, you've done incredible things, and Joe Public is well known for the amazing work, the clients, the stuff that you guys have done. But this may be like a next evolution and perhaps an even higher purpose. You've put together this incredible thing with people like Benjamin and Rosamund Zander, Peter Block. These are big names, and you've already taken in 18 leaders for the first intake for April 2023. They graduated in February of this year. Yeah. Who are these people? What's the course? What's the idea?
So I did a side hustle. I became a doctor along the way.
I did say Dr. Yeah. Peppy.
Have to say it, Gareth. I'm saying it enough myself.
If we have a medical emergency, you're not that kind of doctor.
Not that kind. Okay, yeah. On the plane, don't call me. I'll start working with you to try and figure out what's your purpose. But I was very interested through our journey. So Joe Public, through bankruptcy, we worked on defining the purpose of the business because we realized being in business to make money led to bankruptcy.
Right.
So there must be a greater reason for being in business. And I really believe that played a huge part of our success.
Okay.
But then what I found as the business expanded, we were not able to implement the purpose throughout the business to the level that it should. Mm-hmm. So if you ask me gut feel, what's our purpose implementation today, 15 years later, it's probably below 20%. We talk the purpose, we're not living the purpose.
Wow.
So then I went and did my whole thesis on that. And interestingly, every single business that talk purpose, it's like 2% implementation. So everyone wants to do this thing, but they don't know how to do it. And what I found was interesting, the big gap I found is the reason it's not working is because people aren't aware of their personal purpose. So they can't implement purpose in a business because they don't understand how it works not at a cognitive level, more at a deeper level, a deeper understanding. So the intention of this journey that we designed is to help people become more open and understanding of their own personal purpose, so that we can implement the purpose of the business at a deeper level.
Where do you get these ideas, and where do you find inspiration, and what do you refer to when you're trying to align yourself to the, because we all get lost as well, right?
Yeah.
Gareth?
I mean, just talking about purpose and implementing it, I think that's what we're trying to do as well. And I think that's the most difficult part. And it's why we're trying to scrap KPIs and create a value matrix instead.
You're talking specifically now about the business. So KPIs being what, key performance indicators,
which is these are ways mental you measure models that we've been boxed into doing since school, you know,
but these are ways that most companies
forced ways will, of thinking.
Yeah. Most companies will use these things to measure
correct
efficacy and productivity and all that stuff. But, and you say that's not the best way to do things.
Well, I don't think so. We're about to find out.
Okay.
But I believe also, you know, we're all humans, so it's the intangible pieces that we need to focus on. You know, everybody feels, everybody, can understand and has love and emotion and all of that. So if we can focus on the value creation or co-value creation within the business, then you it's inevitable in my mind that you'll hit the result. So agreed with the focusing on the money, we were just chatting before as well, you know, take yourself out of the business. If your values and your culture is not there, you know, then that's going to disappear or it's going to degrade. So for us, it's about, for us and also myself personally, it's about focusing a lot more on the values, a lot more around love and respect, you know, and accountability, and making sure that everybody within the business starts, you know, embracing those and living those day to day, because that's inevitable then that the frequency of the business will change. Because everybody will want to be better human beings, you know, themselves, firstly, and for one another. I mean, try sitting around a room where everybody's happy and being grumpy. It's almost impossible not to laugh. Mm. And I was using the example earlier, that's a sports team. You can go out for a duck, but your team wins. You're going to run onto the field and say, yeah.
Even if you weren't part
of that. Exactly. Yeah. So overall, you know, that frequency change is going to come. So Yeah, I think the models that exist currently are very archaic, and I think they were built, you know, I think back in the day to send people to war. You know, you must learn certain things certain ways, mm-hmm. and that's stifled creativity, yeah, and it's stifled ways of thinking.
And the Industrial Revolution, where people were kind of, they were made into machines that had to do very specific jobs.
Tanks in warehouses anymore as children. So, you know, I think
although the Chinese and those Chinese kids are making some great stuff. I mean, I'm shopping on Temu all the time for their stuff where they make with their little hands.
Just to create a safe space, safe space for creativity. I know both of us obviously in the creative space, but you know, a creative person or an artist can't work in fear. You know, I think there's a fear which a lot of the old school industry would work on, you know, under pressure and fear. Pressure is inevitable in this industry, but safe space is key. You know, and a safe space comes from being vulnerable.
So that's a good point that you raised there. And obviously, both of you being in advertising, which is a very, very fluid business. I mean, it's constantly changing. You're also dealing with different clients all the time from different sectors. You've got people who are in finance, you've got people who are in retail, you've got people who are in telecommunications. I mean, your clients are also sometimes your teachers, right? And having dealt with and met with captains of industry from so many different places, that also has to help you inform yourself about what kind of leadership you want to demonstrate.
Sure. I think that's one of the biggest blessings of our creative industry. I always say, like, so even for my thesis, I could pull on the top CEOs in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have impressed the hell out of my supervisor was super impressed. Like, how did they get that?
You're like, well, I deal with them every day.
Yeah.
Like, advertising, we literally, that is the biggest gift. And we see the belly of the business as we deal
with. Yeah.
And we see, and I suppose that definitely played a role in me starting to question, because where do they just pop up? You see everyone's talking their vision, and you start realizing that all those visions are self-serving.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see everyone's talking values and missions, but no one in the business understands it.
It's just a slide on a PowerPoint.
Just like, yeah, it just lives on the wall.
Yeah.
You ask the first person, they don't know. So then I become interested in, okay, but if these things have value, how do you make people understand it? And we're in communication. Which is also why this idea that the purpose of the business, or even on a personal level, the purpose starts with one word, is fascinating, because from a communication point of view, there's only two brands in the world that I found, maybe three, two South African, one international, mm-hmm. that people will go, if you had to research it, they'll go, yeah, that's the word that brand stands for. That's very powerful.
Which brands? Give them some
Volvo.
Credit. Okay, safety.
There we go.
Yeah.
You go and do, I haven't done the, like, to check the data on that.
Cool.
The other one, Woolworths.
Quality.
Okay.
So
last year,
I'm doing all right. So far, two out of two.
There we go. 1,500 sample size.
Yeah.
73% of the 1,500 people, which is 1,100, whatever.
My second guess would have been expensive. Well, that's not fair.
But how interesting is this? But so Woolworths, 73% of consumers, 1,500 samples said quality.
Yeah.
If you look back at what was called the mission statement, which to me is today more the purpose statement, of Sonnenberg in 1934, when he founded Woolworths, he mm-hmm. said to give consumers quality product at affordable prices.
Okay.
And that they somehow managed to keep that, they call it a golden glove or invisible golden glove that holds that business together. It's still there.
Yeah.
But that's
the a very powerful demonstration. What's the third one, by the way?
Because people are going to be asking. I was chatting to one of my very, very dear clients from SA Breweries, and he was saying, yeah, but Carling Black Label's champion.
I thought you were going to say breweries generally. I would have said drunk.
Yeah. that's one as a non-drinker. I stand for them because I would push them to position themselves outside of your harder liquor. Because it's
okay.
Beer,
okay.
But interestingly, that was the third one. But I don't think it. I'd love to test those things. But those other two, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you call them.
Yeah.
Now think of the power of that.
Yeah.
If you're able to define yourself with that clarity, that's strategically, that's brilliant. And most people, we don't have strategies for our lives, so we just go weekend to weekend to weekend. So once I found my strategy for my life, I wrote a 25-year plan towards 2032-2037, and I've already written my next 25-year plan towards like the 2060s, you know. So it's like inspires me.
It was a strategy on a page and not, you know, a long intro.
It was a one pager with like a lot of things, but it's super empowering, Gareth. I think it gives you, and you talk about like the fears, and I've got zero anxiety.
Yeah.
Like zero, because I've got this rudder. So, and that's, I'm very, very
okay.
grateful for.
What about these very cynical people? And there's some of them in the comments. I love you guys, but there are going to be some who say, oh, but it's all good and well for people who've already done what you guys have done. And especially in your case, Pepe, with a, you know, an experience over decades now in a business which you've kind of won at, people would say in some ways. No, but I mean, this is what people are saying. Yeah. I don't agree.
So I'll give you the truth.
You've already been humble enough to say that you're always evolving and learning.
Yeah.
I don't think they heard that, but it's, you know how people say, for example, oh, well, you'll always hear from rich people, it's not about the money. You'll always hear from beautiful people, it's not because I'm beautiful. You'll always hear from very, very smart people, it's not because I'm smart. Yeah. That is how it can sound sometimes.
That's completely acceptable that it is like that, because, you know, people forget that it might take 17 years to become an overnight success. You know, so it's very easy to look at
you got fucked on the way to get there.
They don't know that at all.
Yeah.
But I'm very proud of the fact, not proud, but I'm very grateful for the fact that I grew up in the home of a teacher who was a single mother. So I did not grow up in a shack. And I know my white privilege and my male privilege. I'm very clear on it. But we were fed by the church. I started working at the age of 11 for income. I subsidized my mother's salary to feed us. So I know where I come from. Then growing this business, we went bankrupt. I had to sell all our furniture. I had to sell my car to feed my family. You've done similar things. These are the things people are not aware of. When I found this way of being, I didn't have two pennies to rub together. I couldn't fly from Joburg to Cape Town to my sister's 30th birthday, and I couldn't tell her that because I was too embarrassed. Because they were going like, I'm just too busy. They were like, it's my big birthday. These are the things people don't know about. But I found this way of being in bankruptcy, not when I had money. And this way of being is what made me achieve a certain level of wealth.
Yeah.
So that I find fascinating, that when I worked for money, bankruptcy, when I worked in service of something greater than that, I made a good amount of money.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think focusing on the money is where you fall short. Focusing on, like for me as well, the service of the people. And, you know, I always say, yeah, it's easy to say you don't need money once you've got money. But, you know, starting a business is tough. And like you said, I mean, recently also, you know, our business, it's been a tough year for business overall, you know, and being vulnerable and I stick to that like you've just been now as well as, you know, last year, sold cars, sold all assets. Make sure salaries were paid. Never missed a salary date. You know,
I think COVID did that for a lot of people,
yeah,
right?
Never missed a salary date. Never retrenched one person. So yes, it's easy to be a comment warrior. Is it Ruth or who was it?
Ruth's the chairman of the comment section. She would never say something like that. But Percy does say, I can't afford to pay attention.
Yeah, I'm on that level too. Don't worry, I'm sitting here running out of a bundle. But it is that. I think a lot of people don't see that from a business perspective, and good for them. You know, I think it's okay to not have to go through that. I think certain people are conditioned for it, or we condition ourselves for it. And the world needs all different kinds of people to make it go around. Otherwise we'd all be fighting for the same things.
So I hope you two will carry on sharing your ideas that you otherwise would keep in the DMs. But Pepe, just so that people know, because obviously this course is something which you're offering now, you obviously won't take everybody, and it's going to be a small group of people. How can people find out more? Is there free material available? Are there things that even if you don't want to necessarily get involved, maybe you can't, there are things that you can access?
So, and again, it's interesting, and I agree with you. Like, great that everyone have different point of views, and some people go, that's great, some people go, it's fantastic. I'll take my founding partner. He said, because he was one of the first people on the first year. We took it, we're taking from the top down in the business at the moment. It's not an offer outside of Joe Public yet. The dream is to make it much bigger.
Sure.
We've got a school of growth in time. But at the moment, it's internally focused. But my business founding partner said it's the best experience he's ever had.
Melissa.
No, actually, Gareth, my founding partner.
Okay, another Gareth. Yeah, we need
another,
more Gareth.
Another Gareth, yeah. Not Gorlisa. But so it's internal at the moment. What I do on a personal level, very, very selectively, often just once a year, I work with executives on a private retreat, 2 days.
Uh-huh.
Which has had phenomenal impact on the people that has joined me once a year. And for that, they can just reach out on LinkedIn. But this is fundamentally the new way of leading business. It's not gaining traction. You know, it's 10 years old and there's only a bit of understanding now, 10 years later.
Uh-huh.
What, 14 years later? Time's flying. And again, it's choice. You know, we can do things the normal way or we can find a new
choice.
Way.
Yeah. Choice. Everything's your choice. Yeah. But I think that's the big thing as well. It's a massive mental model shift for leaders. You know, to come, I guess I'm young, so haven't worked many places. So I'm coming in fresh, not scarred from big organizations and agencies. But I think that is the big thing. It's being able to say we're going to try something new, try something different, and being called weird along the way. But I also truly believe that this is the way forward. Conscious leadership, being vulnerable, not knowing at all, and creating a space for the talent to be the best that they can be. Okay. Yeah,
I love it too. And I also love the fact that you both brought up choice, because there's so many people I know who have chosen to make their life hard and unhappy, and they don't want to learn, and they want to blame everything else that's going on around them, and they don't want to look at what available free information there is that can be implemented immediately. You know, if you choose to be unhappy, like, that's on you.
Yeah.
And I have no sympathy. Go fuck yourself. Sorry, yeah, that wasn't very conscious leadership. They're both very disappointed. All right, there we are. That's all. I'm afraid that's all we got time for this morning, though. But I want to thank you both for being on the show. Also, thank you to the people who joined us earlier to talk about from serial killers to conscious leadership. I love it. We've really covered the gamut today, and we will be back next Monday, because Friday is a public holiday. So happy Women's Day to all the women in South Africa, and especially those who've made sacrifices over the years, because God knows we're a nation that is hugely dependent, whether we admit it or not, on strong women. There are women all over this country who are bearing the great burden of doing all the things that so many men have opted out of. So I do think this is one of the few holidays that's completely deserved.
As a world, not just the nation.
Yeah, no. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
There are rural villages that if they didn't have those grannies, the whole society collapses. I mean, we all know this, right?
Yeah.
And it's not to make too fine a point out of something that's kind of obvious to people. But this country, we owe a lot to strong women who just get up every morning and keep going. They do it for their kids, their grandkids, their relatives that they don't even have a responsibility for, and they're doing it anyway. So happy Women's Day for Friday. Otherwise, we will see you on Monday, 6 a.m., bright and early. And don't forget, there's also the Burning Platform on the podcast party tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock. Cheers.
To stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. And you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more.